This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Senator Rand Paul's 13-hour filibuster last week brought renewed attention to the issue of drones, and it led the Obama administration to pledge that it will not use a drone to kill any American citizen on American soil who is not engaged in combat. But drones aren't just for the military anymore. State and local law enforcement agencies increasingly are turning to unmanned aerial vehicles, or UAVs. In North Carolina, Gaston County has had a drone for years. The Monroe Police Department wants to buy one, and the state is asking federal approval for a drone test site in Hyde County. For the latest on drones in the Tar Heel State, we're joined by Sarah Preston, Policy Director for the North Carolina American Civil Liberties Union. Her organization last week filed for public records with 62 law enforcement agencies in the state. They want information on the use of military technology and tactics. Also with us, Deborah Duncan, who is the chief of police in Monroe, and that is southwest of Charlotte. Her department just got the okay from the city council to purchase a UAV. Deborah and Sarah, welcome to both of you. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Deborah, let me start with you. Chief Duncan, what sort of drone are you in the market for?
Well, what we're looking for is one of the unmanned aircraft that we'll be able to use for to respond to instances such as a hazmat situation or train derailments, those types of situations where we'll be able to respond and get good information right from the start. This is not going to be a surveillance, and I think that I wanted to make sure that I made that clear. A lot of misinformation, assumptions that we'd be using this for surveillance, and that's not what we're going to use it for.
Well, I know you haven't bought it yet.
No. So,
but what are you looking for? In other words, how would it work? It's got cameras on it. Would it read telemetry? What can it do?
Well, what we're looking at, it does have a camera. It does have a daytime camera video with a nighttime infrared camera, and it gives a live video feed to officers on the ground, for example, you know, to so we can be able to see in case of, you know, people, a person that's been lost or kidnapped, barricaded subjects, things of that nature.
And I understand, I guess you haven't selected it yet, but you're looking at one that might be battery powered and it's good for about 90 minutes. Is that the one we're talking about?
Yes, that's correct. That is what we're looking at. We have contacted a company in Florida who is making those. We're talking with them to see exactly how that works. It's about 2 pounds, about 3 feet across from wingspan. So that's basically what we're looking at to see how that's going to work. And we're looking at other options also, but that's what we focused on.
Well, Sarah Preston, is this the kind of equipment that the ACLU wants more information about?
Absolutely. That would be part of what we made this public records request would include any cutting-edge technology, including drones.
What are your concerns about drones?
Our concerns, I think, are probably twofold at this point. The first concern we have is just a general privacy concern and how drones will be used for surveillance. But I think in addition to that, we don't know how police departments, but as well more sort of statewide, how these drones are being regulated, how their use is being regulated and limited. And I think we would like to see some kind of statewide regulation on how drones may be used, particularly by law enforcement.
Well, Chief Duncan, how would you respond to that? I mean, what are you going to do in terms of training, and what are the regulations? Are there state and federal regulations on how this device can be used?
Well, there are, and we have been talking with the FAA. I have my staff that's researching all of that. But I think what's important here to note also is that we are going to have policies in place that is going to strictly, take care of how we're going to use these type things. And so we are going to have a policy. And as a matter of fact, I'm glad that we have Sarah on the line because I would like to work with her or her, someone in her office to help us develop those types of policies. So that way that we'll be able to say exactly what they're going to be used for, we'll have a policy, and we're going to adhere to that policy. And then, like I said, we're going to be open with it. We have it for a purpose, and that purpose is not for surveillance. It doesn't have the capability what we're looking for. It does not have the capability to stay up for hours or, you know, fly high and be gone for a long periods of time. The one that we're looking at, 90 minutes maybe, then it's got to come back and is not equipped with some of the things that you would see in the military.
And you know, if I had actually had one of these, Chief Duncan, I would have known that you're in fact in southwest of Charlotte, not southeast, and I would have located you properly. And yet here I am in Durham with no eyes down there, unable to know exactly where Monroe is. So forgive me for that. So Sarah, is that the kind of reassurance that you and the ACLU would be looking for?
I think it is partially the reassurance. I mean, one of the things we're trying to do is actually work with legislators at the state level to put in some statewide regulations that would help govern how localities use drones, but to do sort of basic things, like say if you are going to use your drone to collect evidence against a person, that you do what the Constitution requires, which is get a search warrant, and just sort of very basic regulations to try to make sure that people's rights are protected and allow the legitimate uses for drones that may exist.
Well, I wonder about that in the courts. I mean, is that up to the police, or do the courts have to treat these particular vehicles in a different way than any other evidence gathering device in terms of needing a warrant, admissibility of the evidence? Are there new protocols needed, or is it just like any other evidence gathering, Sarah?
Well, I think our feeling is that it goes beyond any other types of evidence gathering that may exist at the time. You know, people like to compare them to helicopters, but there are sort of natural barriers to law enforcement getting helicopters because they're very expensive to buy and to maintain, but also to have a trained pilot to fly them. So there are sort of some natural limits on the use of those kinds of technology. Drones are much cheaper, and they're only just starting to proliferate. So it seems to make sense that, you know, the state just get out ahead of this new technology and put some reasonable restrictions in place onto how the drones are being used.
It raises an interesting question, Chief Duncan, because this, I think the one you're looking at goes for around $44,000. Is that right?
It does. It does. And it has a maximum range of about 6 miles, and it can only fly for about an hour, maybe 90 minutes. So, but I certainly understand what Sarah is saying, and I can agree with that. And this is something that it's cutting edge technology. We're just starting with it, so this is new ground for us too, and we want to make sure that we do what we do is right, and we want to abide by the law. We're going to make sure that we do it right. We are going to train some of the officers in order to, deploy this and to maintain it. So there's going to be training involved. We're going to have policies in place. Of course, we need to work with the FAA, and we have contacted them. And I think this is all new ground for everybody. So we're trying to learn. And like I said, the intention is not for to try to create probable cause, but rather is a response. For a response purpose only, like I said, in order to assist us, can aid us in public safety, and I think that's what we're trying to get here.
Well, Sarah, you hear Chief Duncan's intention for this, and yet clearly, once you have the thing, I think there might be a concern that other police chiefs in other places might have other ideas about how the technology could be used, particularly at that price. So, Sarah, I wonder if there are examples that about this equipment being misused anyplace now that we're seeing a proliferation of military equipment at local police forces.
I think there are examples of this sort of military. I mean, the public records request we made went beyond drones, and I think there are examples of military equipment being misused. I don't know of any examples specifically of drones being misused, and that probably has more to do with the fact that at the moment they aren't as widespread as some of these other pieces of technology.
And I guess, Chief Duncan, part of the example that you have to work with is the fact that Gaston County has had a drone. It cost $30,000, and it broke down on its test flight, and they haven't used it since. I mean, is that any part of your understanding of how you can go forward? And are you worried that this technology really isn't quite ready for prime time?
Well, first of all, that's been several years ago, and there's been a lot of advancements made in that area. Second of all, we're going to have insurance. We're going to, make sure that we try to learn from what happened there and make sure that we have everything in place. And so right now we're just in the beginning stages. We're just starting. And like I said, until we get everything in place, we're not going to acquire anything until we get everything done.
All right. Now, as I understand it, we looked into this to see what is in place already to govern and regulate this kind of technology. The most we could find is the FAA, which at the moment doesn't allow weaponized drones to be used by local
right.
police forces. So you couldn't put a weapon on it yet. But that's according to FAA regulation. Of course, they can change. Sarah, are you you've asked for information from these 62 agencies. Are you comfortable that people are willing to work with you in the way that Chief Duncan seems to be? Is there a willingness to kind of figure out a way to come up with protocols to regulate these things?
Well, I think, you know, part of the reason why we do public records requests is because we don't actually have all the information, and we recognize that. So what we're trying to do is understand the impact that the militarization of police is having on neighborhoods, on communities, and on law enforcement. I think after that, we would have to really evaluate what the best practice might be in a situation. But certainly, we are always happy to work with law enforcement to try and come up with suitable policies. And I think, you know, certainly when it comes to drones, but also other pieces of technology, there are some things that we would prefer not be used in our communities. If they're, you know, developed for combat zones, it doesn't seem appropriate to use in the community. But there are some technologies that we can see legitimate purposes for, and so it's more a matter of making sure that it's regulated well, that any policies that are developed in public so that the public actually has some input and understands what's happening. And that there's adequate training for the use of these technologies.
I want to thank you both for being on the program today. Sarah Preston, North Carolina ACLU, thank you for being here. And Monroe Police Chief Deborah Duncan, thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you very much.
Just ahead, we talk with writer Minrose Gwynn about her new book that looks at how we remember Medgar Evers. That's coming up on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.